Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we come back to the subject of evangelism and reaching the lost with the gospel. And there's nobody that's more gifted in this area that we know than Ray Comfort. And he's been such an encouragement to our family and to my kids. My children are just out there more so than I think any of us have ever been. And much of it is because of Ray Comfort's influence upon our family. And in fact, my mother-in-law was in our home. She had not come to know the Lord. And the last 2 months she was with us. And we were watching Ray Comfort's videos off and on throughout the last 2 months of her life. And so she got the gospel so many times and seemed to us that she was really softening and receiving for those last few months that she was with us. And it was Ray Comfort's videos that just kept playing over and over again as Grandma was preparing to depart. And so anyway, we're delighted this morning to receive another visit from Ray Comfort, who is no stranger to the program. But it's been his videos that have been so engaging. And I'll tell you what, you watch these videos, you will be riveted from the beginning to the end. You do not want to walk away as Ray's videos play. These videos have been watched by millions upon millions of people. I'm talking about 180. I think it came out 5-6 years ago on abortion. Then there's Audacity and the Atheist Delusion. And now the latest video from Living Waters and Ray Comfort is The Fool. And boy, this gives us, again, a great insight into how unbelievers perceive us and how we can be witnesses for Jesus in some of the most untoward and difficult circumstances. And the Lord uses these things for his purposes. And just an amazing video, and you will be thoroughly engaged with this video. It's available for church screenings right now at livingwaters.com. But The Fool presents Ray Comfort's interactions with atheists over the last, 15 or 20 years. And now Ray joins us on the Generations broadcast. Ray, welcome back. It's good to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you being on.
What a tremendous video. This is almost a personal testimony, isn't it? Of all the videos you've ever done, this kind of gives insight into the career ministry of Ray Comfort. It's almost autobiographical, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't realize you'd seen it. It sure helps when an interviewer's seen it, because I can't describe what it's about. All I can do is say it is biographical. It's something I didn't want put out there because I was so embarrassed by what happened for years. I was humiliated by it. And yet God turned it around and used it in a wonderful way, which we're finding when people watch it, they're very encouraged to see that God's in the little details. It's not the devil's in the details. God's into the little details, and he's working things out for our good. And I particularly love the life of Joseph. In fact, I never failed to weep when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. But you can see God's hand on Joseph from the moment he has dropped down to that pit, accused of being a sexual predator, thrown in prison, and it was just like up and down, up and down, and yet God was in the details and working things out. And when I look back at what happened to me, I shake my head and say, boy, Lord, you are just absolutely awesomely amazing. Just to give a little synopsis, if I may, so people know what I'm talking about.
Sure, please do.
About 9 or 10 years ago, maybe 10, maybe longer, the world's most famous atheist, Richard Dawkins, referred to me on television and in universities and on video as the banana man, and made jokes of a parody that I did with a banana.
Yeah.
It was just a fun thing I did on a teaching on atheism called God Doesn't Believe in Atheists. And I held a banana up and I compared it to a Coke can and said, you'd never believe a Coke can could make itself. It's ridiculous because it's got a tab and all this. And then I showed a tab on the banana and a peel that, you know, that was biodegradable and color-coded, yellow, just right, green too early, black too late. And everyone laughed, and I forgot about it until Richard Dawkins got hold of it and christened me Banana Man, and so I became internationally known as the celebrity idiot among atheists. And I was just so humiliated about it, because they threw away the Coke can when they did the parody and made me look like an idiot. And and yet God turned it around, and I got to preach the gospel to literally millions of atheists throughout the world because of that.
Phenomenal.
Because of that silly name.
That's just phenomenal. the atheists sort of were wanting to use you as a little kick toy, sometimes capitalizing on your mistakes. And you made some mistakes, and as we all do. Mm. I think of, you know, you referring to bibliophile as, you know, you were sort of misinterpreting that as a takeoff of pedophile. And then so they, you know, were making fun of your mistakes, and they would blog your mistakes, or they would tweet your mistakes, and then that would be carried on to millions upon millions of atheists around the world. And yet, you know, there's something humbling about that for you, but it's not all bad. The results were not, you know, God is using it for good. I think of the Genesis 50 reference. You brought up Joseph and his brothers. Brothers cast him into that pit and sold him to slavery in Egypt. And Joseph said, y'all meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. So God's able to use these things.
And that's so encouraging. And we've got to remember that God is infinitely more greater, if we can say that word, than anything we can imagine.
Hmm.
And just have to study DNA and the human eye and all these incredible things, the rows and, you know, microscope, and God is just phenomenal. And the ungodly have just got this erroneous view, this idolatrous view of what God is like, an old man in the sky reaching out to touch the fingers of Adam.
Hmm.
It's ridiculous, and it horrifies me to think there are so many who are... reject the gospel because they don't understand the issues. So my life has been dedicated to reaching out to the lost in any way I can. And one way we can do this in an effective way is through the internet. Our YouTube channel is just coming up to 55 million views.
Incredible.
And and I think I look back to like 40 years ago when we used to have church crusades, and I know what was involved in getting, you know, a couple of hundred churches to gather together and have three or four nights of preaching.
Yeah.
It would cost millions of dollars to do that sort of thing, and you'd reach, I don't know how many people, thousands, because they were combined church meetings. But with the internet, we can reach literally millions via this incredible medium. So we're very encouraged as a ministry. We feel as though God's using us in a wonderful way, and we're very humbled by it.
The film gives us several examples of how you actually reached out to atheists, and many, many atheists have heard the gospel. Give some examples of how that came about.
Well, just, I went down to speak at a creation museum in San Diego, and there were about 40 atheists outside protesting, because atheists have got nothing to do because they don't believe in anything. So when a Christian comes along, it's something to whine about.
Yeah.
And they had signs up saying there is no God and that. It was really hot, so we went outside. And I said, hey, it's hot out here. Would you want to come inside air conditioning? I'll buy you pizza for dinner and let me preach to you for a while. And they were all familiar with Banana Man. I'm such an idiot. There's nothing threatening about me, Banana Man. And so they all came inside, and I got to preach to them for about an hour and then brought them purchased pizza for them afterwards. And it was a wonderful time. Another time, and I was invited to go down and have dinner with some atheists in Orange County. And I went down and had dinner with 40 of them, and one of the greatest thrills, this is we didn't mention this in the movie, but I called the waiter over, and I said, give me the bill. He said, excuse me? He's Spanish-speaking, and I was New Zealand accent. It was kind of confusing for him, and I said, give me the bill. And he gave me the bill for 40 atheists, and I secretly paid it with my credit card. And then when they all came to pay for their food, it was all paid for by some Christian guy who was in their midst, and I had the absolute joy of having all these atheists file past me and say, thank you, sir, thank you for dinner. And it was just a wonderful way to show how much we love atheists. We're not there to argue with them.
Right.
We want them to be saved from death and hell. And so you couldn't have taken that bill from me. It was one of my greatest joys in my life, I fear. Cartwheeled down the street afterwards, I felt so excited about it.
Ray, as we consider, you know, interacting with the world, with atheism, with evolutionists, with abortionists, or fill in the blank, it seems to me sometimes the goal of many Christians is to just win the argument, and we want to get into debates, and they call us into debate, and we go back and forth. What's the goal? What do you want to accomplish? Do you want to win the argument, or is it something else?
Yeah, we're on a plane, and everyone's going to have to jump, and I want them to put on a parachute, because at the moment they're going to jump without a parachute.
Mm.
It's as simple as that. If they pass through death without putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to find a wrath-filled God who is holy, and a very real hell. People don't realize that, but death is the actual arresting officer that will drag the criminal before the judge who's violated his law, and they're going to answer to God for every idle word. And God's prison is a place called hell without parole. So our goal is not to enhance the lifestyles of people and give them peace and joy and fill the God check back in the heart. It's to see they're saved from God's wrath, his just wrath on the day of judgment. And it sounds like an awesome, a scary task, but it really isn't if you learn to do what Jesus did and address the conscience. If you go for the intellect, you're going to get contention. Romans 8, verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So there is an enmity in the natural carnal man's mind. You can see this in the way they use God's name as a cuss word. No man in history has had his name used as a cuss word except Jesus Christ. And yet people don't even know what they're doing. It's because they've got a heart that's of enmity to God. So if you want to reason with someone, move away from the intellect quickly and go to the conscience. And you do that by doing what Jesus did in Mark 10, verse 17. When the rich young ruler came to him, he said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why do you call me good?" And then he showed God's goodness by going through the commandments. He took him through the Ten Commandments. And that's how you address the conscience. And the conscience will agree with the commandments. So instead of getting contention, you get harmony, and you get people saying, "Yeah, you're right. It's wrong to commit adultery, wrong to murder, wrong to lie and steal." And then you say, "Well, have you done those?" And you're in big trouble. You need a savior, and it makes sense to them.
Ray, this is important to me, and I know a lot of people interact with unbelievers in different contexts. But what is your heart attitude in all of this? Do you express yourself in passion? Is there a sense of urgency here? I mean, we don't want to give way to impatience, you know, and be kind of irritable and angry. So what is your heart attitude, and how do you interact?
Well, make sure I'm always motivated by love. And, you know, years ago, I used to have a drug prevention center, and it was in the Regent Theater buildings down under in New Zealand. And one day I received a phone call at about 6:30 in the morning. I was in a deep sleep. I picked up the phone, and I heard four or five words. It was a friend. He said, "Ray, the Regent Theater building is on fire." And boy, did I believe him because of his tone. I didn't say, "Oh, yeah, practical joke." It was on fire, and he had that urgency in his tone. And so when I speak to people, I want them to hear tears in my voice. I want them to know that I'm really, really concerned for their eternal salvation. So I always carry $5 Subway cards in my pocket, always do, have done for a long time. And when I witness to someone, right after the end of it, I say, "Well, thanks for listening. Hey, I got a gift for you." And they say, "What is it?" I say, "It's my dentist bill." "No, I'm just kidding. It's a Subway gift card, $5. You should see their reaction. They go, "Wow, you didn't have to do that." I say, "Oh, no, I just want to let you know I really do care about you. This is a token of my love for you." And so it's worth 1,000 words, one little gift like that. And, you know, most people, as Christians, battle fear, and I battle fear. Every person I got a witness to suddenly looks like Goliath. But if you and I have a battle with fear, here's an illustration I think is very helpful. If I said to you, "Kevin, I want you to dive into a pond that's filled with huge chunks of ice. It is so bitterly cold, if you stay in that water for 3 minutes, you will die of exposure. Could I get you to jump in the pond?" You say, "No, never." I say, "A four-year-old boy has just fallen into the pond." "Oh, now it's a different scenario."
"Oh, yeah.
Now you'd die. You'd jump in a second. You wouldn't think about the coldness of your flesh." Why? Because your love swallows up your fear. And the waters of personal evangelism are freezy. They're icy. But the key is not to think of yourself and your flesh, but to think of the eternal welfare of the person you want to witness to. Yeah. And so I say, don't pray for less fear. Pray for more love.
Amen.
Because that's the problem. Yeah.
Perfect love casts out all fear. And that passage really has helped me. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. And boy, I think those three elements is exactly what I need when I'm interacting with unbelievers. I want to have that spirit of love and power and a sound mind with the Holy Spirit really working through me at that moment. Friends, we're talking about the new amazing film from Ray Comfort. You've got to see it, and it's available for church showings right now at Living Waters. And the film's called The Fool. Now, Richard Dawkins, probably the most famous atheist in the world, as you said, Ray, he seems to want to make fun of you. I mean, he you know, I don't know if he's got a dartboard with your face on it in his basement or, you know, whatever. he loves to go after you. Now, what do you think he really thinks about you, though? Do you think he despises you? Or do you think that in his heart he finds there's something in you that's a little bit endearing?
I really don't know. I like the man. He's said some terrible, terrible things.
Uh-huh.
But I would be honored to meet him. I once challenged him for a debate. I offered him $20,000 for a debate. I said, you don't even have to debate me. You just give 20 minutes on why there's no God. We'll do it via the BBC, and I'll give 20 minutes on how I know God exists. And he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. It's just crazy. And in fact, he said he wanted $100,000, and he would give that to his so-called scientific foundation. But regarding the screenings, if I may mention, the film's not coming out till the end of August, but we're allowing churches to pre-screen it. We'll just send you a link via email, and because that's how we want people to get excited about it and to see it via pre-screening. And if they think there needs any improvement, we ask them to let us know, and we'll make improvements before it comes out. But people are saying it's their best film because it's kind of unique.
Yeah,
and different in its message, and it's very moving, and there's some wonderful things that happen in the movie, particularly with the atheist Penn Jillette, who I got to witness to in Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think was your highest point in all the ministry work that you've done over the years, and all your interactions with atheists, Ray? What is the highest point where you really believe God has brought you to that point? And there was some kind of significant breakthrough in your evangelistic work.
Oh, boy. I think it was the discovery of what we called Hell's Best Kept Secret.
Uh-huh.
In September of 1982, I was tremendously frustrated at the fall-away rate among large crusades and local churches. Something like 80, even 90% of those making decisions for Christ fell away from the faith, and I couldn't figure why. And I discovered a portion of a sermon by Charles Spurgeon, where he said this. He said, what will you do when the law comes in terror, when the trumpet of the archangel shall tear you from your grave, when the eyes of God shall burn into your guilty soul, when the book shall be opened and all your sin and shame shall be punished? Can you stand against an angry law in that day? I remember thinking, man, that's different from God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life.
Mm.
I thought, what is Spurgeon doing? He's using the Ten Commandments, the moral law, to cause a sinner to tremble and flee from wrath to the Savior. And I thought, that's just amazing. And then I just tucked that in my memory banks, and about 3 days later I was itinerating somewhere, and I read in Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I always read that as Israel saying the law was our schoolmaster, Israel, to bring us to Christ. And then I thought, I wonder if it can be used to bring people to Christ, as a schoolmaster, to teach, to bring about understanding. So I closed the Bible. It was like light coming to me, and I ran into a hot pond where they heat up the water, and sat springs, sitting in it. And I ran to the next person that sat next to me, a guy sat next to me, and instead of saying here everything is hunky dory now that I'm a Christian, I said, and I was saved from God's wrath by trusting the Savior, opened up the Ten Commandments to show what sin was, and the guy stood to his feet and he said, I've never heard that put so clearly in all my life. I thought, oh, the law just was a schoolmaster that taught him, brought about understanding. And so I studied the proclamation of Wesley, Whitfield, Moody, and all the great Spurgeon, and they said, if you don't use the moral law, the Ten Commandments, to bring a knowledge of sin, you will fill the church with false converts. And so I called the teaching Hell's Best Kept Secret, and things just exploded over the years, from Kirk Cameron hearing it and calling me and wanting to combined ministries to a television program that went to 190 countries, and God just opened wonderful doors. And that was the basis of it all, that one teaching that people can hear on the homepage of livingwaters.com, free of charge, livingwaters.com, the homepage.
Well, very good. Very good. A little biographical background for Ray Comfort. And friends, God has used our brother Ray Comfort to reach millions upon millions of people around the world through his various evangelistic outreaches and videos and films. And what it comes down to is the basic gospel, and that is, we have broken God's law, but praise be to God, Jesus came to save us from our sins by dying on the cross. and he has risen from the dead. And we encourage people to faith and repentance. That is the basic message that's been taught by Christians for thousands of years. And God has used Ray Comfort to bring back this basic gospel message to thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions. And we appreciate the film work that he's been doing. And don't forget the recent film just coming out called The Fool, available for church screenings. And just go to livingwaters.com for access to the new film from Ray Comfort and Living Waters. Ray, thanks again for joining us on Generations. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Kevin. God bless you.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.